Congratulations and welcome to the party. Stone Creek Coffee Podcast, episode 23. We're talking about getting into the coffee industry as a career, which is not always easy. It's very intricate and involves many parts, facets, development, and just personal drive. We've got Christian and Sam, and this is going to be a multiple part episode as we try and tackle kind of the whole spectrum of joining a coffee roasting company or just a cafe in general as a barista, all the way to the point where you sort of find your own in a career path that works for you, that matches your particular giftedness, your particular passion. In this first episode, we're going to talk with Christian and Sam, and then we'll all share kind of how we got started in coffee as baristas. And then next time, we'll elaborate a little bit further and see where that road eventually took us to get us to Stone Creek Coffee and the roles we operate in currently.
And thanks again to Tia for shouting out at us to give us the inspiration for this topic. If you have something you want us to talk about, shoot an email to podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com. That is podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com.
This week, we have with us our lead barista, Sam.
Hi.
Sam's a good guy. He's been around the coffee industry for how long, Sam?
I think this November will be 16 years.
16 years? You were how old when you got started?
15. Oh, wait, it'll be 17. I'm 31 already. I can do math.
Three of us are here with three pretty different stories, actually, in terms of how we got where we are in coffee, so it should be a good time. We've got beer. We've got six beers amongst the three of us, so we're ready to go. Sam is our guest this week. Why don't you just give us a little bit of background on your coffee story?
Should I start at the beginning?
Yeah, start at the beginning.
That'd be good. Okay. So I inherited my love for coffee, I think, from my father, who, growing up, I remember him brewing pots of coffee at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Oh, gosh. Why?
He's a night owl.
just because he was up and he wanted coffee?
Yeah. Oh, got to do stuff. You know, he was a teacher, very hands-on teacher, so lots of homework, but lots of energy on his part, so coffee. It was his friend who owned a bagel shop in Green Bay, where I'm from. I was turning 15. I wanted to buy a car. My dad said,
"Gotta buy it. Good luck with
that. Yeah, get a job so you can pay insurance and pay for the car." Okay. So I started washing dishes at this bagel shop. I even had to jump through all the hoops, fill out a job application, find references. I had to go through the interview. I was freaking out because, you know, it's the first time you were doing anything.
And it's just your dad's friend.
Yeah,
he's
but he was
hire
like,
you anyway.
Well, I knew that, but he was so like very professional about it at first, because he wanted me to go through that. And
sure.
My dad, I'm sure, was like, yeah, be mean to him.
Yeah, right.
Give him a hard time.
Put him
time.
Through the ringer.
So I started washing dishes there, and then I started doing deli work. In the back, they did deli salads and sandwiches, and then I started working up front. And, you know, at the time, it was, oof, you know, the re-steaming milk. You never wasted any milk.
Yeah.
You just kept filling a pitcher, steaming it till it was hot, and then fill up the cup and save the rest. We now know that is very disgusting, and kind of, I'm surprised no one ever got sick.
Yeah, I'm sure there should be health codes around, like, milk use in cafes.
Well, as long as you bring it up to boiling every single time, you're pretty much safe.
Kill any dangerous microbes.
Drinking cheese, though.
And then, you know, I started making bagels, and this is where I got hooked on coffee, though, was the, like, 20-ounce coffee with, like, three or four shots, some caramel flavoring, and, like, some steamed half and half on top. And I'd go out back, and I'd smoke cigs and just, like, crush 20 ounces of caffeine and then go do my job. So that's how I started my caffeine addiction. I think that's, like, most people. They don't start with just, like, straight espresso.
No.
Maybe this day and age.
I haven't met a single person who did, like, oh yeah, I hated lattes, and then I started drinking espresso.
Yeah.
And that was where it was at.
So I kind of did everything there. And then that, you know, gets old, and you want to evolve and move on. And
get out of Green Bay.
Get out of Green Bay being the key one. So I moved to Milwaukee, and then I started working at Altera on the Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there. That was like hell on earth.
Why?
For service. It was brutal. You know, it was just like sweaty, hot. People would stand in line for 45 minutes to order like a cup of coffee and like a mediocre
just
sandwich.
Just because of the space?
Yeah, yeah. Just because of location. And I was stuck making sandwiches. But that's where I first saw someone pour a latte art. And I was like, whoa, how did you do that? And I spent the next, like, 5 years after that just trying to pour lattes.
Mm.
And that was kind of an uphill battle at first, but once I got, like, their bar certification, and then I... And that's how I kind of got into barista competitions eventually. You know, fast forward a couple of years after I honed my being able to pour things in cups skill.
Yeah, before we get there...
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of the game here.
No, yeah, but I also want to make sure that we sort of bring this back to the listener, too. So, like, through your experience of getting in coffee, if somebody's like, well, I want your job eventually. Like, I just love coffee, but I think being a barista, barista trainer, national competitor would be pretty dope. Like, what kind of advice would you give for somebody wanting to sort of walk that road?
Find someone with a great education program, like Stone Creek.
We can self-endorse. It's called the Stone Creek.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, like, Christian and I pretty much wrote all our classes. Mm-hmm. We took a lot of info from good sources and put it to good use. I would say it's one of the most intensive education programs as far as barista training is concerned, in my opinion. Most places you get 3, maybe 4. What do we have, 12?
Something like that. Like 12.
We have 12 plus the master barista classes.
Yeah. Yeah. So like 17, 18 classes that are at least 3 hours a pop. So find, you know, if you're not in Milwaukee area, find, go to a cafe, find out, you know, like, get coffee. Is it good? Does it look good? Does it taste good? Are the people like working there? That's where I would go. And if, you know, you're in an even smaller town, the internet is amazing for that stuff. There's so many, like, avenues to find out how to pour latte art or learning how to dial an espresso or even somewhat taste coffee. But I think if you want to do what I do, you got to, like, dive in and you got to, like, get a job in a cafe and start trying to be the best barista you can, which isn't just making coffee. It's serving the customer, bringing that full circle, because the customer is the one who pays you to do what you love to do. And that's the bottom line.
You know, I was just going to say that, and I actually wrote this down. If you are passionate about coffee, you love drinking coffee in the morning, and you hate people in general, coffee industry is not for you. At least being a barista is not for you, because you have to interact with people on a morning-to-morning, day-to-day basis. And you might be tired, you might be grumpy, you might be hungover. Doesn't matter. You're on a stage, and you have to give a certain level of really good service in order for your customers to come back, in order for you to be successful. If you love coffee, go get some really cool equipment, hang out at your apartment, brew coffee, watch the videos. But you have to love people in order to work in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Or at least love them enough, or love coffee enough to be good at customer service, even if you don't like necessarily. It's not your MO to spend all day interacting with people.
Yeah, I mean, if you love coffee but you hate people, brew it at home, like Christian said. You know, I keep, like, when you said that, I picture, like, I just watched Goonies recently for, like, the millionth time, but it's, like, Chunk in the Woods. It's like, I love the dark. I love the dark. But I hate nature. I hate nature. And that's what I'm thinking about, is, like, if you love coffee, you love dark coffee, or you love whatever, but you hate people, don't try to work in a cafe. But I will say, that is where you're going to hone, if you want to pour latte art and you want to dial in and you want to, like, know how to rock or use an espresso machine the best way you can, the most efficient way, and pour beautiful lattes, you gotta work in a cafe to really do that. Because this is a repetitious, pour, drinks you don't even want to make, but you want to make them look pretty because you take pride in what you do.
Yeah, and I think getting in cafe can be hard for some people, actually. Like, there was one coffee shop, and it was Starbucks in the town that I grew up in. And I applied there like two or three times, and I think I'm a relatively sharp person, you know. Mm-hmm. I think well on my feet. I'm pretty good barista. I mean, at the time I wasn't, but I couldn't get a job there. Like, I never got an interview or anything like that. And so for some people, though, I think they find themselves in that, because we'll go through applications and we wonder why certain people are applying to work here. Like, they're working on a master's degree, or they have a master's degree, and sometimes you just got to sit across the table from them and let them tell you why they want to work in coffee. And if you are the one applying, I recommend, if you really want to get an interview, don't just submit a paper application or go online and fill out an application. Like, you need to get in front of somebody and tell them why you want to work for them or why you want to work in coffee. And I would guarantee you that goes way farther than just filling out an application with all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. All right, Seal, let's go back to your start in coffee.
Yeah, I thought you were segueing to me anyway. We were talking about dudes working on master's degrees, applying for coffee
jobs. That was where I was, actually.
Yeah, that's unlike Sam. I was never cool enough to work at a coffee shop. I grew up in a town about an hour north of Milwaukee called Sheboygan, and we had some really cool coffee places. I remember The Wonderful World was a place where everyone used to go, and all the cool people worked there, and I was like, I wanted that job. I liked the idea of culture and coffee, and there was live music there. I'm like, dude, if I'm cool, I'm going to be working there. I didn't get a job there. I guess I wasn't cool. At the time, probably wasn't. But I was like, hey, hire me. There, any kind of coffee shop that pop up around town. Sheboygan's a pretty small place, like 50,000 people. And I never got an interview. I'm like, come on, man. I can never get a job. I can never get a summer job. So go to undergraduate, get my 2 degrees up at UW Green Bay. Oddly, never crossed paths with Sam, and he was up there about the same time that I was up there. Come down to Milwaukee to work on a graduate degree at Marquette University in philosophy, and it becomes apparent after about 6 months that I need a job. I need some more money to, like, pay for groceries, and I just need some, you know, expendable cash. And the Brew Bayou at Marquette was hiring, and I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll apply for a job over there. I always wanted to work in coffee. I hang out in the cafe all the time as it is. Let's see what we can do. Got a job working over there for about maybe 20 hours a week. And it was a wholesale account of Stone Creek, but it was a wholesale account. And I'm kind of curious about moving on to a different place. And I go to eat at a restaurant across the street from our Stone Creek in Bayview. And I just happen to pop in. I see a now hiring sign. I'm like, yes, dude. Like, I'm a wholesale person. They're totally going to hire me. Totally motivated. I don't care. I'm a master's student, whatever. I got 2 years. We're good. And so I put in an application. I actually get a phone call like 2 weeks later, and I go in for an interview. They hired me for about 15 hours a week or something like that. Turned into 30 hours a week after the person – they hired 3 people at the same time. One of them made it 2 days and then quit. And I was told that I almost didn't get hired. I almost didn't get
Who
hired.
Who tells you that? Like, oh, hey, buddy, by the way, no, it was, almost didn't get hired. So-and-so thought you were a total douche.
No, it was like 3 or 4 months down the road when I became lead staff, the assistant manager at the place. They're like, yeah, you're almost not hired. But I told them to go and hire you. I'm like, that's cool. Thanks for sticking up for me. And I just kind of sunk in. I just loved it. I loved coffee. And we had challenges at the start.
Who's we and what are the challenges?
We at Stone Creek, and I love Stone Creek, but we've had some challenges along the way. Mm-hmm. And Sam was talking about steaming foam or spoon and foam and steaming milk, re-steaming milk. That's exactly what we did 6, 7, 8 years ago.
We're proud of that failure, I think.
I mean,
proud of the fact that we messed up and learned from it.
Yeah, it's who we were, and we wanted to be fast and efficient like Starbucks, and sure enough, that's what we were doing. But
something to be said about that being the, like, high-end coffee shop at the time, though, was like a dollop of foam at the top that you could, like, eat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think a lot of it just kind of stemmed from ignorance about what you could do with, I mean, quality espresso drinks, because how many people were actually doing what we see in the quote-unquote third-wave shops today.
Very few. The only one that's really credited is, like, David Schomer, and he's the one who's credited with pouring hearts in his cafe the first.
Really?
All right, so now CO's a barista at Stone Creek. Sam's working as a barista in Green Bay. He moved to Milwaukee. He's working at what was Altera at the time. I got started in coffee also kind of similar to CO. I was in grad school, and I had always wanted to work in coffee, and I had a buddy who worked at a local coffee shop out in nowhere central Wisconsin. If you've ever been to Watertown, you wish you hadn't been there.
I always get Watertown and Waterford confused. Is Watertown the one north or the one south?
Wait, Waterford is where?
Doesn't answer the question.
Wait, where is Waterford?
I don't know.
That's why I get them confused. Okay. I know I've been to one once. But.
So if you go west of Oconomowoc, north of 94, east of Sun Prairie, that's Watertown.
Johnson Creek,
where the outlets are north of there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's where people sort of go, like, they raise cattle or they grow corn and they just stay there, which is fine. But in terms of specialty coffee, it's not much. But anyway, I'm going to a small grad school there, and my friend works at this coffee shop, and so he gets me an interview, and I finally, you know, get this job at Colectivo Wholesaler. It was Altera at the time, right before they turned to Colectivo. And so I just started learning about coffee. That was my first real introduction into specialty coffee, was working at that shop. And we got to go for 2 hours of training just on basic milk steaming and espresso pulling. And I was just floored at the operation that was going on at Altera. I mean, from the amount of coffee that was there, how they talked about sourcing some of their coffee, and then all the complexity that went into actually making good coffee off an espresso bar. Especially watching the guy pour latte art, which was Colin Whitcomb, who's now at Madcap. He actually taught my first barista class, which is pretty cool.
Small world, man.
Yeah, he didn't remember me.
It's like, you know, it's like, do you remember all the wholesale kids you run into?
No,
yeah.
No. So that really left an impression on me, and I was really driven at the time to pour latte art and figure out how to pull good espresso at the shop I was at. I mean, it was the re-steam milk. You know, they didn't really care. They knew they had decent coffee, and they figured that would somehow translate. But I was thankful for the opportunity to learn and just taught myself from there how to do stuff, more or less. And then I ended up, after I graduated, I went to work at a marketing firm on a seasonal basis, and that didn't end up panning out because the project I was working on tanked. It may or may not have been my fault, who's to say, but it just didn't work out. So I wanted to get back into coffee, so I started working as a barista trainer for some local shops in the Waukesha, Brookfield area, and that lasted 2 months before I was able... Well, that long story to how I got into Stone Creek, so I won't go into all of that. But I will say I just had to knock on the door a lot. I had applied to Stone Creek to work as a cafe manager before, didn't even get an interview. A position was filled like 2 days before I applied. And then I ended up running into one of Stone Creek's wholesale people just a couple months later, and they passed along my information again, and I finally got an interview with the retail director at the time to manage the Delafield Cafe, which was my first step into Stone Creek. And it just was a long time coming after having sort of knocked on the door of something that would actually sustain me in coffee for quite a while. Moral of the story, don't stop knocking. Make sure you, like I said, you get in front of somebody. And most of the time, people who work at coffee roasters are pretty chill. Like, you can send somebody an email and just say, hey, like, I really want to work for you. And they'll give you an interview unless they're really corporate. But most coffee roasting companies are not big enough to be that filtering and that corporate. So
I think it helps to be like engaged with even your barista. Like, if you're talking to your barista about what coffee's what and like, hey, this tastes good, this tastes great today, man, like, this is awesome, and then you're like, oh, well, you know, I just lost my internship, or, you know, your job at the marketing firm, and you're like, hey, I need a job, man, do you think you guys hiring soon for like summertime? You know, also think about when places hire and when they're slow and when they're busy before you start thinking they're not going to hire you. Also key.
Whenever people used to turn in applications in the cafe, if they were engaging with me and like seemed to know what they're talking about and were at least friendly in customer service, I'd usually pass along the information to whoever's doing the hiring. It's like, hey, watch out for this person. I think they'd be a good fit. And if you do engage, I think it increases your odds. And don't give up after the first no. Mm-hmm. I think I was told I was declined applications probably 10 times for coffee shops throughout the years. And I just kept with it. And I knew it's something that I eventually wanted to do. Not full time, but I'm doing
it
now.
You should work in sales if you can take that many no's and stuff.
Yeah, right. Easily.
You're being wasted. And check in with us again in 2 weeks, where we'll wrap this conversation about coffee careers and hopefully give you a little bit of guidance on how to get your feet wet in the coffee industry. Just do some stuff, how to do some stuff you want to do in coffee, which is important that you figure out what you want to do and you get in that groove. Till next time, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.